The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, yeah, doing pretty well. Thank you, Howard. We're still at home. I gather you guys are not at the moment, unfortunately, but it's all still very much lockdown mode in Israel. And in fact, even further lockdown coming, if that's at all possible. A very fascinating presentation from Prime Minister Netanyahu on TV last night. He's gone into isolation, would you believe?
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of consternation and discussion about the Prime Minister's isolation. We are assured that he has been tested for corona and for the COVID-19 virus, and he is not infected at the moment. That is the message that we are receiving. The reason that he's gone into isolation is because one of his aides apparently was diagnosed with the virus. She came out saying that even though she was at the Knesset last week when a vote was taken and the Prime Minister was in attendance at that vote at some point, she didn't actually see him or come into contact with him. So the question is, why would he then need to go into isolation? And the answer is that I'm really not that sure. He came out saying that he's decided to go into isolation because there seems to be some doubt as to whether he, in fact, did come into proximity of of that particular lady. And so he has decided to be a personal example, and he has gone into isolation as a result of that. And so he appeared from his home, the prime ministerial residence, on TV. He even went as far as telling the listeners and the viewers that he had been forced to do his own hair and makeup before the appearance, because obviously no one's allowed to come into close proximity with him while he is in isolation. So this is isolation as opposed to just staying at home. And of course, there are different rules that apply. Those people who have been forced into isolation, either because they have the virus or because they've come into close proximity of somebody who has the virus, their rules are entirely different than the rules that apply to people like myself, who are just obliged to stay at home and not wander more than 100 meters from your house. But you can go out and conduct emergency errands, and you're entitled to go to work. And in fact, what the Prime Minister did yesterday was he announced even stricter rules that will be applying starting from tomorrow, whereas before up to 30% of an officer's workforce was entitled to come to work. Now that will be reduced down to 15%, and there's been very, very strict rules about no more than two people gathering anywhere at any time, and those two people really need to be family members. No prayer services, not indoors and not outdoors at all. Rules about weddings, no guests are allowed at weddings. There are particular rules about funerals and about Brit Milah and what's allowed there under the circumstances. So very, very specific rules that are being laid down. And the Prime Minister trying to get people used to the fact that Pesach, Easter, Ramadan, whatever it is that you're going to celebrate, you will celebrate alone. There will be no family visits. There will be no opportunities to mix and match, as is usually the case over the time of the holidays. He's really tried to prepare people, saying, please prepare yourselves now to celebrate the holidays on your own, because there will be no possible way, there will be no lifting of the restrictions, and there will be no possible way of people mingling and matching and visiting and all the rest of it. So a quite a sombering kind of thought that the Prime Minister already begins to send out to prepare people in order to ensure that there is no possible plan being made at the moment to breach those regulations in any possible way. And alongside that, the Minister of Finance went into some detail about a massive 80 billion shekel financial aid package that is being offered to employees, to self-employed people, to large businesses in order to try to kickstart the economy. And there's already talk and thought about the day after, whenever that will come. to try and allow people through this very, very difficult time, and hopefully to give the economy a little bit of a boost that once we're past this, that we'll be able to somehow get the economy back on the road. Unemployment now has exceeded 20%. And just to remind listeners that we started out before Corona at an unemployment level of around 2%. It's now exceeded 20%. People are signing up all the time, albeit in a slightly slower trickle than was the case in the first few weeks. But people are signing up for unemployment all the time. Obviously, people needing to get through this very, very tough period. Lots and lots of good things happening. Voluntary organizations, charities coming out, helping people, helping the sick, helping the elderly, helping the people who are slightly weak in our society who are struggling to cope with the current situation, delivering things to their door, bringing chalot and wine for Shabbat, just coming as a friendly face because a lot of people have been isolated on their own. They're unable to have family visits and people coming along. And so these days are pretty lonely for them because they have to spend that time alone, which is very, very unfortunate. And then this morning I've seen a special announcement by the Minister of Health, Yaakov Wiltzman, about the situation in Bnei Brak, which he's described as a terrible situation. That's his words. Nora v'ayom in Hebrew is what he said the situation is in Bnei Brak, which means it's a really dire situation. He's talking about closing off Bnei Brak entirely, just completely isolating Bnei Brak. Four testing stations have already been set up for people in Bnei Brak. Anybody with a temperature, anybody with a slight cough is asked to go along and be tested immediately in Bnei Brak. There is a huge expectation that there will be massive numbers of people who are infected by COVID-19 coming out of Bnei Brak over the coming days as those numbers, as those people go through the testing stations in Bnei Brak. But we're expecting some quite large numbers of people to be added to the list of those who are infected so far. Just in terms of the dry numbers, 4,831 Israelis infected by COVID-19. Up until now, there are apparently 17 people who have died, although some of the statistics are showing 18. Two people died overnight. There was a gentleman who died yesterday who was then subsequently found not to have been infected by the virus, and so therefore his number is being removed from the overall number of people who've died as a result of infection by COVID-19. 163 people have recovered so far, which includes that Arab Israeli bus driver who was very, very seriously infected when he drove a group of Greek pilgrims around on their tour of Israel a few weeks ago. He was desperately ill. He was the first person to be intubated in Israel as a result of having contracted the infection, the virus. And he yesterday was released healthy from hospital to great applause and to much disbelief in some cases in some of the medical staff who had seen how ill he really was. So a real victory yesterday as he was released from hospital. At the moment, there are 83 people who are considered to be in a very serious condition. 69 of them are actually intubated. Another 95 people are considered to be in a bad situation, what's called benoni, which is medium. It's not really medium. Medium means kind of you can't cope on your own. You need to be in hospital and you need to be under medical attention. So those are the dry numbers at the moment. And as I said before, we're expecting quite a large increase in the numbers as those people go through those four Bnei Brak testing stations. And we expect quite a number of them, quite a high percentage of them, to be found to be positive carriers and infected by the virus. And then in addition to that, the testing stations, the more public testing stations are due to be opening. What they said on the news last night was that supermarkets would be trying it out today in unnamed areas because what they didn't want was a huge influx of people to turn up to be tested. So the idea was that they were going to try it out on a kind of first come, first serve basis on supermarkets that are not being advertised in the press, but people who turn up there will find the testing station and will decide on the spur of the moment if they wish to be tested or not. And my expectation is that that particular experiment will be expanded to more supermarkets around Israel, without, you know, big fanfare and without big advertising, but that people who turn up there to do their regular emergency shopping will be given the opportunity to be tested. And I know quite a number of people have already said they would absolutely love to be tested, to be given the opportunity at least to rule things out, if nothing else. You know, we all want to be sure on which side of the line we fall at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, it still continues to be very much the focus of attention. There is very little that's happening in Israel which doesn't somehow circulate around the issue of this particular virus, everybody behaving in a way which is, you know, affected by the virus. We've seen a completely different way of behaving within the Haredi neighborhoods, despite our discussion yesterday morning about people who were still intent upon violating those restrictions and those rules, unfortunately. But I think that the message has finally hit now, because there are just so many people who are ill at the moment and being infected, that the evidence is clear for everybody to see, and there's no possible way that you can live in denial given the number of people who are going around with temperatures, not feeling well, coughing, and people who really need medical treatment. So that's a very unfortunate thing, and our medical system is going to be inundated undoubtedly with people who come from that particular area.
Is just going back to Netanyahu for one moment, is he quarantining alone? I mean, or is Sarah with him? Because could this be a way just to have a break from her, do you think?
It's definitely a good way to have a break from her. And it's also not clear how long he's going to be quarantining for, because, you know, the standard is 2 weeks. 2 weeks from the moment that you came into contact with that person who is infected. Now, it's not clear whether he is actually going to maintain that 2 week period. I expect that it's going to be quite a difficult challenge for him to keep running the country from that quarantine. Apparently, he is separated from Sarah within the prime ministerial residence in Balfour in Jerusalem. But I don't think that he can find himself being separated for too long, because even yesterday in the broadcast, there was actually an individual in the room with him, it became obvious afterwards, who, albeit was a slight distance away from him, wasn't sitting within that 2 meter zone, but was removed from him. But he ultimately can't run the country by being entirely quarantined on his own. And I'm just wondering, for example, how UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is managing to run his country while he is actually infected. He's not just being self-quarantined out of trying to be a personal example, but he actually has the infection, he has the virus, and so he, you know, has a different situation. But it's certainly a concerning situation when the Prime Minister is being quarantined, and we really need quite strong guidance at the moment getting through this issue.
Yeah, very, very, very challenging time. And of course, global leaders were always going to be hard hit simply because of the amount of people that that they come across on a daily basis. Anthony, we don't have a lot of time, because can we quickly talk about the Qatari money that is due to be distributed in Gaza tomorrow? How does that happen? How does that work now?
Well, as we know, Gaza has been a recipient of money from Qatar, aid money, over many, many months, even years. And my understanding is that further Qatari money is due to be distributed in Gaza today. And according to the Qatari instructions, this is money that needs to be distributed to needy families rather than to go to the regime. And The irony in the situation is, of course, that Israel is being very, very cooperative, even more than cooperative, in allowing this to take place. Obviously, the money couldn't get to Gaza without Israel's agreement. And in fact, I understand that because there's been no possible way for Qatari representatives to come here and to distribute the money themselves to Gaza, we're told that an Israeli aircraft actually took off from Ben Gurion Airport on Sunday, and landed in Doha after stopping in Cyprus, and returned directly to Israel an hour after arriving in Doha. So the plane, an Israeli plane, went to Doha, had a stop in Cyprus along the way, returned back from Doha. The suspicion, of course, is that the money was loaded on the plane in order to bring back to Gaza without bringing Qatari representatives because of the lockdown that we have at the moment due to the virus. And we understand that something like 100,000 families in Gaza will hopefully today receive $100 each, and apparently they'll be told of a time and place at which they can collect this money in order to avoid crowds gathering anywhere in Gaza. The situation in Gaza as things stand at the moment is that apparently there are nine people who have been infected by the virus in Gaza. They are short of ventilators. They're trying to get more ventilators. They're trying to get more equipment. But so far, nine people, which seems to be sort of manageable. But again, one doesn't know where that's going to go from here.
Very, very interesting. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.